Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Full or part-time options, 518-454-5143. From Northeast Public Radio, this is The Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
Well, watch out for today, folks. Dr. Shartok is loaded and ready for bear. Welcome to the Media Project. Dr. Alan Shartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio, is here.
How'd you do?
And Judy Patrick, the editor of the Daily Gazette in Schenectady.
Hey, Rex.
Howdy, howdy.
You're too nice, Judy. You're just too nice.
All right, let's get ready to rumble.
All right, here we go. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. I'll try to keep the contestants at some distance anyway. Hi, Alan, says a reader. Thanks to you and all the participants in this show, it's very stimulative and informative. Isn't that wonderful? Stimulating, excuse me, and informative. I'm not reading too well.
Is there a but there?
No. Per last week, when you were all recounting examples of mistakes that got through all the editors, I thought of something that might reduce that from occurring, is to speak the headline, sentence, or whatever out loud before passing on it. Maybe someone's thought of that already, but I don't remember it being mentioned. It wouldn't prevent all problems, but it should reduce some of the more obvious ones. And I also had a letter at my office this week, similar to this, saying what you really ought to do is be sure that you're editing from hard copy instead of editing on the screen.
Which is interesting. I can tell you this, both Rex and Judy, and that is that, you know, I write two columns a week. If I can find a sucker to read them to, I always, always find something that I should change based on the nuances of the voice as opposed to writing. And you're looking at me very strangely, Judy, and I don't think I like it
one
bit.
No. In fact, I would like people to read things aloud, at least in their head to themselves.
It's not the same. It's not the same when you read it aloud in your head. It's when the words come rolling off your tongue and you're able to get people to...
But that is how editing is done at NPR, as I understand it, that the producer actually has the correspondent read the story without a script in front of her, in front of the producer. And that way the producer hears it as the listener will.
Well, of course, we're here in Radio Rex.
Oh, I guess it is radio here.
You know, as opposed to written...
Is there editing done on your stories here?
What'd you say?
I said...
Pardon me? No, pardon me?
Let's see. We had another response.
Asking for it.
To one of last week's points, which is car talk going off the air and being replaced with reruns. This listener, I think they're called here, points out nothing lasts forever and NPR should have been planning for this eventuality years ago. Playing reruns beyond the end of the year would be a bad idea. So that the replacement may not necessarily be a car show, but they like the fact that for the years that Car Talk has been on the air, no one has felt that they're being marketed a particular brand of car or some car product. That's true. It seems to have been
except when you came to in the negative.
Yeah.
I remember one day I was listening and somebody called up and said they had a Saab. And he said, oh, another Saab story.
Boom. But seriously, folks. And here, Peter in Goshen is concerned about an article in the New York Times headlined, Mississippi's Only Abortion Clinic at Risk as Law Nears, and complains, why must even, quote, the liberal New York Times call a women's health organization an abortion clinic? Absolutely infuriating. It's like calling Price Chopper a Q-tip vendor, only with negative and inflammatory political connotation. So was that bad? A headline saying Mississippi's Only Abortion Clinic at Risk?
What do you think, Judy?
Well, was the point of the story the fact that the only place to get abortions was going to close? If that was the case, perhaps it's a good idea to put it in the headline.
Yeah, but is there a way to do that abortion facility? But abortion, well, I suppose someone once you use the word abortion. But of course, there's so much left to human error here. You guys know, of course, the person who writes the story is a prism of some kind. The person who puts the headline on the story may have their own agenda. And, you know, even if they're not in touch with their own agenda, it may come creeping out.
Well, the point is not to soften the facts. The point of the story is that there's the end of this abortion clinic, then say it. I mean, don't pussyfoot around the fact that it's an abortion clinic.
I'm with Judy on this, absolutely.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah. I think, and to your point that, of course, editors have, we all have personal biases, but we like to believe that professional training and experience and the fact that there's generally more than one person looking at something before it gets into the paper remove those biases. We try to keep biases out of it.
But what about a word like Obamacare?
Oh,
everybody hears a lot about Obamacare. Now, I don't think there's such a bad thing about it, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's a tribute to him. It's his bill, and I don't see any great reason for not doing it. But I get more mail, more angry people when they hear the term Obamacare.
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I talked about the fact that it was a loaded term. And then a few days later, what happens? It shows up on my front page in a headline. And it was in quotes, and so there was some justification for it. But again, it's a loaded word.
I think you're right.
Why is it so loaded?
But it's, well, just because it's...
Abortion clinic isn't loaded and Obamacare is?
No, abortion clinic, it's a clinic where people get abortions. Abortions are illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. But Obamacare is, Obama's the president of the United States. He came up with a bill, which a lot of people respect. I do. And therefore, it's descriptive of his bill. I don't see what's so bad about that.
I'm with Judy, except, that is, I should say, I have been with Judy. But you're making a pretty good point here.
Thank you, Rex.
But Obamacare has been used by right-wing people for months in a negative way. That term has been loaded up with all the bad things about this Federal Health Care Reform Act. So it's when you're saying Obamacare, you're not just saying this is the federal health care law. You're saying it's got all the baggage that has come with all the talk radio discussion.
Well, that's their fault. That's the Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and those guys. We're not going to allow them to define us. I'll tell you something right now. I have a big American flag in front of my house, and there's a reason for that.
Here's one. Here's one. Death tax versus inheritance tax. Mm-hmm. You know, the right succeeded in redefining the term, that is creating the term death tax. For years, there has been a tax on inheritance in this country, and in many countries, in fact, there's 100% tax on inheritance. In this country, for at a time, it was taxed at 90%. Now there's an inheritance tax exemption of, what, about $2 million, I think, you can inherit.
Well, $5 million right now.
Is it $5
million? Feds, yeah.
Oh, boy.
But trust me, there are probably some people out there who think, oh, my goodness, they're going to tax me when I die, and they don't have anything to give away. They're not a big inheritance.
Well, I think death tax is a negative word.
Right.
Whereas I don't think that's true about Obamacare.
Who came up with Obamacare? I don't know. But
I don't know.
Oh, I suspect. I don't know. We should do a little research on that. But it was certainly right-wing radio.
Somebody wrote me last week and said it should be Robomacare because of Romney. Romney Care, he's the one who invented it. And now, of course, he's getting hell in the newspapers for being a flip-flopper and a flopper-flipper, changing everything around.
Right. Why don't we just call it Federal Health Care Reform Act?
Hey! There we go.
It's longer, it's true.
Speaking of which, here's a piece of mail from Peter in New Paltz, because the last Peter was in Goshen, Connecticut. These Peters are everywhere. News outlets seem to go to great lengths to break a story first, even if it's by mere minutes. CNN and Fox News and the Supreme Court ruling, for example, both of which had it wrong. Why is that so important to them? What difference does it make, says Peter.
Do you want to know from me, or would you rather try yourselves before I tell you the truth?
I would like to know from you because I have no idea.
Well, it seems to me that the reason is that they get bragging rights. In a sports-oriented, competitive world, they say, and you'll see one of those promos saying, "We had it first when everybody else was in the dirt."
Ain't worth it. The long-term damage to CNN's brand as a result of getting it wrong is not worth any advantage they might have gained by being able to say, "We had it first." Since in any way, what difference does it make? It's a court decision that's coming out. Everybody's going to have it. It's one thing if you've got an exclusive story that is a result of your enterprise reporting, and we have now started putting a little label on some of those that say exclusive. And so you have it there first. But to have first something that everybody's going to have 15 seconds later.
Well, you know what? Of course, you're right.
Of course.
Well, theoretically and professorially and stentorianly, you're right from all of those perspectives. But the fact of the matter is that you're wrong if you're Roger Ailes. And if you're Roger Ailes sitting there listening to what you just said, he's probably chomping on a cigar or something saying, "What a fool that guy Smith is, because, you know, we know what works over here over Fox. We're the number one network, and we know how we got here. And what does that guy know?" sitting up there in Albany.
But they did a real discredit to all the people watching and listening, because they might have just turned in for a second and realized something that was incorrect, that the Supreme Court rejected it when in fact they upheld it.
Judy, do you think anybody lost over any sleep over there at Fox? I don't think so. I think, so what? We got it wrong.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes.
Some mistakes we can tolerate. Some mistakes really affect your credibility. Next time when we're waiting for a Supreme Court decision, we watch the wires. We turn to the television stations. But I think maybe CNN is not something we're going to have on all the time.
Well,
interesting. You know, the fact is, it doesn't really matter, because according to polling, 45% of Americans don't know that the Supreme Court has ruled on health care. In fact, 15% think that the law was overturned. So the long and short of it is, I guess it doesn't matter what we do, right?
Perhaps they were listening to CNN and Fox.
Maybe they were. Maybe they listened for just a few seconds and saw that it was wrong and got out of here.
I don't know. I mean, I still think that if you show me some proof that because Fox or CNN got it wrong, that their demographics, their listenership goes down, sure, you got some, sort of pompous editor of the Times Union or pompous editor of the of the Schenectady Gazette now saying, their credibility. But they don't care about that a bit, not a whit.
You're right. They don't care about that a whit, but maybe a lot of the viewers will.
Yeah, maybe a pig can fly through this room right now.
I think
You're wrong. I think that there's going to have to be some marketing effort at CNN to reestablish credibility as a result of this. This is a big one. You know, we all lost credibility in the 2000 election, and that really wasn't exactly.
You mean before the Supreme Court stole the election, we lost credibility by saying Gore had won?
By saying Gore had won.
Guess what? Gore did win.
Well, that's my point. My point actually is that, you know, the projections were that Gore would win Florida, and probably because of the butterfly ballots.
Oh, now, this is very interesting. I've often thought about this. You do the exit polls. The exit polls show Gore won.
Right.
Then you have this corrupt machine that does their job on it. I happen to think and have thought all along that the exit polls were right. Well, and that you were right.
No, I'm halfway with you.
You know, the bottom line here in the news business is you don't report something until you know that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Supreme Court decision, same thing. With an election, you don't declare someone president until you're really sure he's president.
What do you do if all the networks are saying we declare him the winner? Don't you then put, and you have a deadline, do you say networks project Bush is president, or do you put Bush wins?
Not in the headline. Huh. I could put it in the body text, but I will not put it in the headline until.
Wait a second, Judy. Just 1 minute.
Man,
I don't get the difference between that. I mean, if it's right or if it's wrong in the headline or in the body text.
In the body text, you can explain that these are projections. You can't say according to projections in the headline.
So she's saying she would do a more conservative headline. Right. I'm saying I would probably do a little bolder one. And
no,
I did, and it
saying.
Was wrong.
I'm not dumb. The fact of the matter is that she's saying I'd rather put it into the body of the story as opposed to the headline. Well, if it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter whether it's in the, I mean, if you want pomposity, here's some for you. It doesn't matter.
That was a tough election because no one conceded that night. And elections are always tough that way. You love it when they come out.
Initially,
and concede.
Gore did concede, and he called back and took it back.
Just like is happening with Esplot right now and Charlie Rangel.
It wasn't that night. It was not. Well, we stand to be corrected, please,
a long time ago.
On exactly when it was that Gore
we'll
called.
We'll get letters.
Bush.
We'll get another five letters.
But I'm very pleased that our first edition had it right. 1 month later, we had Bush wins as our first headline, which did turn out to be accurate. And then, unfortunately, we had two more editions where we went back and did different headlines.
But we're going through the same thing with Charlie Rangel now. How do you cover that race?
That's my point. The press didn't get it wrong. What about when the coal miners were declared dead by the governor of West Virginia? You know, when the governor goes out in front of the media and says, it's a terrible thing, we've lost 16 miners or something like that, the media reported miners dead. Turned out the governor was wrong. If you can't trust that kind of a source in that kind of a situation, that is not a media error. I would say the media was wrong in the Supreme Court case in jumping on it, the CNN and Fox, I mean, the others did it just right. But It's not our fault when an authoritative source makes a mistake such as that.
No. Not as long as you say governor says.
Right, because we can't go down in the mine ourselves and see if they're dead. Yeah.
Governor says miner's dead.
Right? Yeah, but in the headline, the headline is going to say miner's dead. Right. It's not going. You're not going to have attribution in a headline, not at that level.
Well, maybe you people could learn something.
Well, maybe we could. Wait. This is the Media Project for Northeast Public Radio. Alan Chartok being his usual cheerful and sweet self, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio. Judy Patrick, editor of the Daily Gazette, and I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. Two editors and the professor, I guess.
It's interesting like that. That you guys are so nice to each other because you run rival newspapers.
Huh.
Perhaps we're just nice people.
Well, you certainly
are. And you
are.
As well.
Did you hear me? You certainly are.
It's not. You know, actually, our newspapers do a lot of collaborative work these days. Not our newsrooms so much, but, you know, we deliver each other's papers.
Oh, do you?
There's some other, I can't remember.
Isn't there some kind of monopoly law or something that prohibits that kind of thing?
No,
there might be. If one paper were to buy the other in the same market, that would have to have Justice Department scrutiny to make sure that one was, in fact, not otherwise going to survive, I think, or something like that. But no, there's no prohibition against helping each other out.
I want to go into another area, if I may, just for a moment.
Please.
You know, I've been trying to talk to you people about this Wrangell election.
Oh,
which
yes,
I find to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the district itself that Wrangell won in, allegedly, has been to include a lot more Hispanic voters.
It is not just Manhattan, or is it all Manhattan? And I mean, Upper Manhattan and goes into Brooklyn somehow,
as my mom would say.
Yeah, we're not quite sure. But anyway, the district lines have been redrawn so that
there are a lot more Hispanics in the district now than blacks for the first time, African Americans for the first time. Which, of course, there are many people who believe that voters go to their primary or secondary groups. Sociologists, in terms of their voting behavior.
And Espaillat is?
Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Espaillat is calling for the feds to come in and monitor the recount.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I haven't seen any evidence that that is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a connection way up the line because Wrangell is the preferred candidate on the part of many of the political folks who thought he was going to win and therefore endorsed him. I mean, that's my view of how it works right now. It's your responsibility, both of yours, to make sure that we figure out that part of the story, which is, are the feds being political in coming in or not coming in? That's all I have to say about
it. It's our part, if we're journalists in the city, we will run a wire story, a wire brief about it.
Sure.
Unless it becomes a humongous scandal, in which case, you know, we'll do more of it, because this would be the State Board of Elections, wouldn't it? Since it's a
you call in the Justice Department to make sure that this is done right.
You call in justice. But if there is corruption, I guess it would be regulated by the New York City Board of Elections. So it would be prosecuted by prosecutors down there, or maybe feds. Anyway, you're right. We have to be.
Get your people on it, right?
Right. Our colleagues in the city.
It does. It does show you how local the news really is, and that, you know, this is such a huge political story in New York City. But up here, you know, we're not really that deeply into it. Speaking of stories that are big in their context and not necessarily elsewhere, we have a broadcasting story that Ann Curry, of course, is giving up the Today Show. Do we care?
You know, I missed that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've missed her tenure.
Uh-huh.
Not a big
Me too.
Morning
time. I never saw the woman on the Today Show to begin with. Now everybody's making a big thing out of it.
You know, I know there are a lot of people who do watch morning television shows, but the few times I have, it seems like I'm just getting teased. Coming up.
Yeah.
Coming up. If you really want a lot of information, for me, that's not the place I go.
Yeah, it's really potato chip news, it seems to me. It's junk food.
Well, I'm very proud of WAMC, which runs the BBC at night. And you would think you were living in a different world to hear the BBC from the news that we consider to be important. I mean, they're going to tell you what's going on in Rwanda. They're going to tell you what's going on here or there. And Americans are almost tone deaf when it comes to all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's not even at night. You run it at 9 a.m. too,
oh, yeah,
BBC
sure.
World News.
No,
That's
but
great.
I'm talking about
all night long.
You? And if you're up when I am at 3:30 in the morning and on the way to work, you hear stuff that's just amazing. You think you're in another place.
What do you know? Other television news.
That is such a condescending thing. He does that all the time. What do you know?
It's nice to know what you're doing at 3 a.m. I've always wondered, of course, everyone has. What do you think about Anderson Cooper coming out? Do we care about that?
was interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't care one way or the other how he lived his life. It's interesting that he chose to come out. I guess, you know, again, television news, it's different than regular news. I guess it's, it, they become personalities and their lives become interesting to the public and all
sorts of public property.
Yeah, if the network is promoting them all the time as such, I don't think the CNN people promote their anchors too much as personalities. There's not that much
Anderson
of it.
Anderson Cooper, they do. He's one. He's sort of this new breed they're trying to promote, I think. They're trying to make him into Anderson Cooper 360, you know.
Would you like to know what I think about this?
Should we vote? What do you think, Judy?
I don't know.
Okay.
The important thing is that, of course, I mean, as has been observed by many people, less august than you, even Dr. Chartok, it is 20 years ago, it would have been unthinkable that a television anchor would come out. American society has changed pretty abruptly to the point that I can't imagine this could damage Anderson Cooper's standing as a TV journalist.
Well, I would hope not. I can only tell you this. There are many reasons people come out. Barney Frank and I had a long discussion about this. And one of the things that, you know, that he mentioned is that there's always somebody in the press who wants to out you. So that sometimes it becomes preemptive to do it yourself. He made it quite clear his life was his own. He wanted Anderson Cooper. He wanted to keep his life the way that it was, and a private part of it, private. But there's mm-hmm. always somebody who's willing to say, you know, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it to you. And I find that reprehensible, but it's one of the reasons people do it.
It is sad that people 20 years ago or even 10 years ago had to live different kinds of, or had to pretend that they were something that they weren't because there was this bias in the community. And you know what? It's still out there in many ways.
Oh, you absolutely.
You hear the jokes
I agree with you.
And the snide remarks all the time. So, you know, he's out there. And I think that contributes to changing everything, that people think, oh, Anderson Cooper is gay.
And most of the chatter, though, in this part of the country at least, has been how unremarkable it is, how the fact right. is there's news about it, but nobody is screaming about it the way they would if they had talked about Chet Huntley or something.
You know, I always love your analogy, your stories about, golly gee whiz, Martha, did you hear that? One of Rex's great...
The golly Martha.
I'm trying to figure out whether or not it's an important story. I judge by whether my wife calls me after she hears me do something on the radio.
Hmm.
And this morning, as we speak, it was announced by my friend who owns the Blue Plate restaurant in Chatham that Bill and Hillary and Chelsea came to have dinner there last night.
How nice.
How nice.
And that he ate broccoli and that he wrote in the book, wonderful, wonderful, something like that, wonderful restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And that he only ate broccoli. Well, this is fascinating because people know he had a heart disease and that he had
only broccoli.
Only broccoli.
You don't think he was making a statement? Remember the first President Bush,
Bush
the Good, actually had this thing about broccoli. He said, I'm President of the United States. I don't have to eat broccoli.
My point is
that
the American people are thinking about Hillary and Bill and Chelsea. Why, that's golly gee whiz Martha. And people really like that stuff.
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
That's why we put it in the newspaper.
That is. What do you know? That's why we put it in the newspaper.
I owe it all to you, Rex.
I've taught him everything he knows. It's an amazing thing. Judy Patrick from the Daily Gazette, Alan Chartok from WAMC. I'm Rex Smith from the Times Union, and we hope we haven't turned you off from ever listening to the show again. Thanks.
Why start now?
Fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score. Killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk. Pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. Their policy is an acrobatic thing. They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give 3 cheers for freedom of the press.